Hi, this is Sarah.
And this is Rachel.
And this is the Ripper Diaries, a podcast where we rip apart, episode by episode, The Vampire Diaries. Warning, this is a rewatch podcast. There's always spoilers. Today, there'll be spoilers for probably all of season one and two.
Yeah, definitely. This week, we're doing our 1 year anniversary episode. No, like, episode of the show, just recapping, talking about the podcast from the past two seasons, season one and two.
Yeah.
Just talking about some of our commenters. We're going to read some of your guys' great comments. We're going to talk about just general things from the past two seasons, maybe some bloopers. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun stuff.
Yeah. It's crazy that it's been a full year of the Ripper Diaries.
Yeah.
And it's crazy that that perfectly aligned with finishing seasons one and two. It's like a really nice, rounds out well.
Yeah. No, I wasn't even really thinking about it when we recorded. But yeah, I guess like every week, 22 episodes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It works. And some specials thrown in there. Now it's been a year.
Yeah.
Weird.
We started out in a dark, echoey gym, as our comments like to say. Yeah, the dark ages were for real, season one.
Yeah, literally. Yeah.
Yeah, and the echoiness, which we still have issues sometimes, but we're getting better about, hopefully.
It's somehow a year in, and I still feel like we're trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
But I think overall, it's gotten
better. It's more tolerable, hopefully.
Yeah, you guys tell us, but I think it's gotten a little better.
Every single comment is like, you guys are so echoey, we can hear your mics rattling.
Yeah.
We're asking for it now.
Yeah, we definitely are. But
yeah,
I think overall better. Definitely started just two girls in a dream.
Two girls in a Vampire Diaries.
We really whimsically just decided to do this.
Yeah, we did. I yesterday actually listened to the pilot, episode.
I'll be honest, I can't.
Okay, it was not that bad. The quality was not that bad, and like it was weird because we didn't describe the episode at all. I don't know where, like, the show has evolved a lot, our show, in terms of like how we talk about the show.
Yeah.
And we didn't talk about the episode. We just had talking points, and we're just like, so this is what happens with Elena in the episode, which maybe our tactic was because it was the pilot. It's a little treated differently.
Yeah, I think that might have been our thinking. I'm not sure. But yeah, it's hard to talk about a pilot. There's nothing to really dive into.
But it was just funny how different it was. It was just structured so differently than our usual episodes. Now we've got a nice routine. And hopefully people like the describing the episode a little bit more in detail. I think it's a lot easier to follow. It's like nice because it brings stuff back. Like you don't remember that things always happen in the way that they happened within the episode. When you're just watching, listening to this podcast, like you might be like, I haven't watched this episode in like a while. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if I remember. So I think it's nice to describe like what actually happened.
Yeah, I think so too. It also, I don't know if it would be easy for us to talk about it in a way that's not just like going in order. Yeah. I feel like we have to do a little description, but open to comments, thoughts on like how much description we do. But I feel like we have to do a little
because it's
like
some amount.
How else do we know what we're talking about? I don't know how we did the pilot. Just vibes. Yeah.
Which the pilot wasn't actually the first episode we filmed, technically. We, of course, did a tester episode before that because
we're very serious podcasters.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. And this was actually born out of watching the show, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, we were in the middle of a season three rewatch, as we always are.
Of course, yeah.
We had been working our way through it for a few months, just kind of slowly. Obviously, we've seen it so many times, so we were just watching it. And we would spend so long talking about every episode.
Yeah.
And I don't know who had the initial idea. I don't think it was me, but I don't know who did.
No, I feel like it was literally producer Shay, because Shay would sit between the two of us while we would watch, and we would be, like, talking over Shay.
Yeah.
And she'd be like, can you guys like just do a podcast to talk about it so I can watch in peace? So I feel like it was kind of Shay's idea.
She's benefited from, because when we watch it for the podcast, our rule is like we can't talk because we have to save it for the podcast.
Exactly.
So Shay really liked that new rule of we have to sit in silence during the episode, because we would talk the whole episode.
Yeah, we'd be like, wait, pause.
Yeah, pause. Let's rewatch that thing.
Yeah, or not, and just talk over it.
Yeah, and then, well, because we've seen it so many times, so we just talk through it.
Yeah.
And then we'd sit there after the episode was over and talk about it for so long. And then the next day, you know, it'd be like, we lived together at the time, we would like be in the kitchen making breakfast or whatever and be like, so about that Vampire Diaries episode last
I was
night,
thinking about it all night. Yeah.
This came to mind. And we were like, you know what? Let's actually try the podcast thing.
Yeah.
And so we filmed a test episode of season three, episode two, The Hybrid.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because we're about to be there again.
I know. It seems unreal. I also, I don't remember what we said at all during recording that episode. So we'll have like pull back some clips and compare. Like, I wonder if our like feelings would still track a year later.
I know. I feel like a lot of our cadence and like the things we talk about probably would have to change. Cause it's just, you know, now we've done 40 some episodes of this. Like,
true.
We've formed a new way of thinking and talking about stuff.
Yeah.
So I am curious how it would compare, but.
Yeah. Maybe we'll drop some clips from that for you guys as a little bonus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a fun time. I do think it convinced us obviously to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, in doing that, we had to come up with a name of the Rip It Eyes.
Oh my god, yeah.
Which we went back and forth for like a decent amount of time of trying to pick a name.
But yeah.
I feel like Rip It Eyes was suggested pretty early on, and it was the only one we could remember.
Yeah, even now, I'm like, I don't remember anything else we really talked about, except like one or two we'll mention. And I looked like back in our like shared notes, like our notes app and stuff. There weren't even really many written down. I didn't see any actually.
Nope.
Yeah. The only ones I even remember talking about were like, again, these are so bad. I'm almost embarrassed to even say them.
We have to share them.
We have to. Well, so like least embarrassing. We also talked about like the Rip a Pod, like something there.
Yeah. Like, we were like, Rip a Podcast. Do you shorten it? Do you put podcast in the name?
Yeah.
It has to have Rip a, but yeah. Obviously the Rip a Podcast. It was better to make it more similar to Rip a Diaries.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
To have the Vampire Diaries logo be the same.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so we had talked about Rip a Podcast, Rip a Pod.
Yeah. The worst one was, well, not the worst. I'm sure there were a lot of worse ones. I just don't even remember because they were so terrible. But also, like, we talked about, like, Fizmatos podcast.
We were stuck on Fizmatos for, like, a minute. We were like, it has to be in the name.
Fizmatos. I know. I'm like, it's so integral to Bonnie, and I love Bonnie.
Yeah.
I feel like I was like, we could work it in somehow, but.
Yeah, so if anybody else wants Fizmatos pod, you can take
it. Yeah, go for it.
Take it.
Yeah, even though we're saying we hated it. Like,
but I like the idea of Fizmatos, but yeah,
I do
it
like
didn't
the
work
idea of it.
Rip a Diaries, like, rolls off the tongue. It just stuck in our brains. So hopefully you all like it too, because I just like saying it. So.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. Also, I like it because I always refer to us as the Rippa girls.
Yeah.
Like, it's just funny.
I like the Rippa. I think it's funny.
There's something about Rippa that just really works.
And it's unique to Vampire Diaries, too.
Exactly. Unique to Vampire Diaries. And we touched on this in the finale, but so integral to the show. Like, in Stefan's character and, like...
I know, I'm excited for season 3.
I know. I'm so excited. So many good moments in season 3. But anyway, we'll save all of that. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's come a long way, I suppose we could say about
I think so.
The podcast.
I hope so, yeah.
And I'm excited, or like, it's fun that we actually got to do the two moments that I think really inspired us to do a podcast.
Yeah.
Because there were two moments, like we said, we were rewatching season two, season three, and there were two moments that I think really were like, wow, this
we need
is
an
gold.
Outlet to talk about this. Yeah.
And we got to do them. And so one of them was, of course, season 2, episode 22, when Stefan with the blood bags.
Oh my god.
Which we just got to do last week.
I really hope you guys go back and watch that scene and find it as funny as we did.
It's hilarious. I hope we've ruined it for you forever, and that's all you
exactly.
think about.
Yeah, I hope you guys always think about how absurd it is.
How much blood can be in his body. It's really wild.
Literally brimming.
Of course, the other iconic moment that was iconic to us that we actually got to do was season 2, episode 6, Tyler's neurotic, bitchy little twit line about Caroline that we love.
Yeah, that is, I think we said this in that episode, but that is literally like that screenshot is our group chat.
It's still our group chat like
photo.
Message. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just so, he was so wild for that.
I love that line.
Me
I
too.
Love that scene.
Insecure, neurotic, bitchy little twit.
It was like, so good.
He popped off.
Yeah. So those were two moments while watching that we were like, we need a podcast. So I'm glad you've gotten to experience those moments with us now.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully you found them as funny as we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some other things that we talked about, I feel like we can just talk about other things we were thinking for the podcast. We also talked about doing like a Hunger Games canon.
Oh,
every
yeah.
time. I think about it every single time we do the In Memoriam.
Yeah.
We wanted to do like a cannon firing and like show the picture.
Yep.
Like they do
like
in
the
Hunger
Games.
Games.
Like whistle. We were like, it's going to be a full thing every time. And then I was like, how do
actually,
I edit this, first of all?
Yeah.
Second of all, we're going to have like episodes where the cannon goes off like 30 times. Like.
Like when Klaus killed. Spoiler for.
Season three,
yeah, going forward.
Four.
Yeah, like when, four. How would we do Klaus killing, like, all
the
12
hybrids?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of episodes that have, like, a dozen deaths because of
at least
sacrifice stuff that they have to do.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the cannon fire would be insane. It would be like 30 seconds of cannons just going off.
Yeah.
So then, we didn't do that to spare you guys.
Yeah, yeah. There's always the concern. Or is this just us finding this funny? Or yeah. Would other people like it? Hearing 30 cannons in a row probably means other people would not like it.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's most of our, like, origins.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got lots of other things that we had planned at the start that I think we're still going to try to find a way at some point to
do. Yeah, definitely.
You know, we would love to do a vlog of going to Covington, Georgia.
Oh, my God.
We don't have a plan yet, but we really do want to go. We've never gone. So
I know.
If you've gone, leave us tips. I definitely want to hear about your trips to Covington. And we still want to go at some point. So... And
absolutely.
Some of the other things we wanted to do, we're going to do now, like in the break before season three. So
yeah.
I'm excited. I think there's, you know, we have lots of ideas that'll still resurface.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, a lot of the specials between these two seasons are ones that we've been talking about for a while.
Yeah, a year.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. For a year. Yeah.
So,
exciting. Look forward to that. Can't give it all away, but
yeah.
You'll see.
But for now, we're going to talk about, like, how the podcast has changed our perception of the show. And I'm curious if this has had some effect on you guys, because I've definitely felt it where, like, it's encouraged me to think more, like, deeply about certain aspects and how, like, I don't know, certain things you, as we're talking about them, I'll be like, huh, I've never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
This is totally what this is. It never occurred to me to even think about it. So that's one of the nice things about, like, the podcast, where you, like, are digging into certain aspects. Sometimes, like, when you're talking about a scene, you'll describe how something happened. I'm like, I didn't even realize that was like, what happened? Like,
yeah,
I
no,
didn't even
same.
Realize that was what was going on.
No, same. You've had, like, theories about things that I'm like, wow, I never even thought about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Media literacy is really an all-time low, even for two people picking apart media.
Well, and even our comments too, like, you guys leave comments of pointing out things and I'm like, oh, that's so right, like, that's totally how that, like, happened, or like what that meant, and I just didn't think of it that way for some reason.
No, there are so many good comments. I always read, like, pretty much all of the comments because you guys catch things that we didn't, like, one that sticks out. I'm like, this someone commented, like, Elena wasn't drinking vervain at the time when Stefan was feeding on her. I'm like, just things where I'm like, oh,
that's how
duh.
Rose.
Yeah.
Hey, no, it's interesting. You just don't think about
every
little detail all the time, although we try to.
We try, yeah. But sometimes it helps to be, like, a little bit further removed, too. Like,
yeah, that's
not
true.
Be overanalyzing it like we are. So that's also why I like to read the comments. You guys are at least, like, a little bit removed from it.
Yeah. But I will say, I think my, like, biggest change in perception of the show, or, like, my change in opinion on the show, is in relation to, like, Stefan and Stelena.
Oh, same. Yeah.
I feel like, I mean, we always say this, obviously, we are biased Stelena fans. We will own that. We are Damon apologists.
Yeah.
But I definitely, like, feel my opinions, like, changing on a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
Stefan especially, where I'm like, I'm surprised how this watch, how much I like him, how much better I like him and Elena, which I do think part of it is also, like, the growing up aspect, where you're, like, less willing to apologize for certain things.
Yeah. Okay. I was thinking about that a lot. I feel like I'm on the same page, and we've mentioned it in the, like, podcast before. I'm sure it's no surprise. But yeah, I also have warmed up to Stefan so much, and I feel like there are two big reasons. The first being, yeah, like, we're adults now. Like, we know, like, first of all, a lot of Damon's things are extremely problematic. So it's like, that kind of, like, softens my ride or die for Damon a little bit.
Yeah.
And also, yeah, Stefan is, in a lot of ways, what Elena needs these first few seasons.
Yeah.
So it's like, you can appreciate that more as an older person. But second, and I feel like this is a big one for me, I'm like, I love Paul Wesley.
I love Paul.
His online persona these days.
Funny.
I'm like, every time I see a video, like a TikTok of him reading comments on Instagram, I'm like, he is Damon's personality in real life.
So
funny. And like, Ian is Stefan's. It's so funny.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I think I've warmed up to Stefan a lot because I love Paul. I'm like, I realized
that's
more
true.
How much I love Paul.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, it's interesting how those opinions change over time for so many reasons.
Yeah,
like the
yeah.
actor, your own age. I feel like I hate saying this because I love them.
Oh, no.
But, like, also, like, the Andy Damon stuff. Actually having to verbally talk about what is happening, you're like,
it's hard.
I can't be like, they're so cute. I stand by this when it's like.
I know.
So he's, like, ripping her neck apart and she looks in pain. You're like.
Yeah.
Love them. Something about having to actually physically out loud say.
It's so true.
Like, ugh, can't stand by this.
I know. I will say I really dreaded doing, like, the Andy Damon episode. Where,
yeah,
like, obviously he, like, feeds on her and tells her to run away, like,
yeah,
that one I really hated. I was like, oh, okay, I forgot this happened, like, I somehow repressed that memory, and it's so terrible. I don't want to talk about it, but we have to talk about it.
I know.
Yeah.
And then it's hard when, like, a lot of the Damon Andy moments you do really like they're really great, they're really fun.
Yeah, very hard to, especially in, like, season one also. It was pretty hard rewatching the scenes with him and Caroline, too. And being Damon. It's like, yeah. I do, but saying it out loud and also having people, like, comment on it and be like,
you can't stick to your guns as much when you're actually, like, looking at the facts in front of you.
Yeah, when someone's going to come back and comment, like, okay, but he's being actually terrible and killing a bunch of women. It's like,
Yeah.
But also at the end of the day, it is a TV show, but yeah.
Yeah, it's a TV show and things have nuance, things have, like, levels to them because of the fact that it's, like, it's a vampire show. Nobody is a good person, actually. True. Like, they all are murderers. Even Liz is. So, like,
yeah, exactly.
Everyone's
yeah.
bad. So it doesn't matter. But anyway, in terms of, like, episodes, too, I've noticed, like, things have changed for me in terms of some of the episodes that I... Obviously, there's ones that you think are going to, like, be great, and they are. Like, Miss Mystic and The Masquerade.
Oh, my God,
You know, like, you're going in for a good episode there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's ones that have surprised me. I think, like, two stick out for me. Season 1, episode 18, Under Control. Mm-hmm. I remember going in and being like, it's, like, a whatever episode. And then it was like, it's so fun, like, the party,
it's so good. Yeah,
and then John dies, and then Kelly and Tyler kiss, and
my God, it's crazy.
Being such a fun one to talk about, even though I was, like, not looking forward to watching it.
Yeah.
And then season 2, episode 6, Plan B, that's when Mason dies, and that was one where I was just like, and then it ended up being so fun. We loved talking about it.
Yeah, okay. I know, I love, like, season 2, episode 6. I, before rewatching it this most recent time, even when we rewatched it last year, I feel like I was still like, okay, it's an episode. But then I was like, I love Mason. I love the Mason Damon dynamic. It's pre-Jules. Like,
yeah.
It's pre-Jules. Yeah. We haven't been ruined by Jules yet. Yeah. I really loved recording that episode, talking about that episode.
Yeah,
just
there was
so
a lot
good.
Of the teen dynamic. I think that was the Tyler one with the neurotic, bitchy little whatever.
It is.
So
yeah,
it's like,
yeah, I think you're right.
Just, like,
yeah,
fun teen dynamics.
Like, silly.
Yeah, I just enjoyed that one a lot.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of teens, another thing that I feel like changed for me in the show. This is, like, less episode specific, but thinking back to season 1, I also felt so much more sympathy for Matt.
Oh, yeah.
Rewatching it this time.
Yeah.
I said this in the season 1 recap, but it's pretty much kept to, like, my sympathy for Matt is pretty much, like, kept to season 1.
I know, I'm already over him.
Yeah, I'm already over Matt. Like, there will be no flowers for Matt in the season 2 recap, but
no.
In season 1, he's a very sympathetic character, and I liked the Vicky arc a lot more this rewatch than usual. Like,
I agree.
I usually skip a lot of, like, the, first of all, I usually skip, like, episode 2, 4, or 5. When I rewatch, I do, like, pilot, 3, Friday Night Bites.
Mm-hmm.
And then I, like, honestly, I think I skip past, like, most of Vicky's stuff because it's all set up. But this time I was like, okay, actually, I really like this. I like the way it builds out Matt's character also because he's given so little. I'm like, at least he has his relationship to Vicky.
Yeah.
And then, I also mentioned this in the finale of season 2. I like the way it's going to come back in season 3.
I was just going to say, I'm really curious to see what our reactions are in season 3 as she comes back around and see, like, how it impacts. Because obviously, like, it's so different in season 3. She's an antagonist. So, like, who knows what we're going to think of it this time around. But, I felt so differently about him and her this watch that I'm really curious.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I'm not sure how I'm going to feel about it. And it's been a while since I've watched season 3. Like, a year.
Yeah, because we never finished. We ended up having to stop because it was too confusing to be watching season 3 and recording season 1. So we haven't other than like what we've been recording for you guys, we haven't watched like other things.
Yeah, really. No. And we only, when we rewatched last year, I think we got as far as like 1912.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I remember stopping at 1912 because I was like, I can't do it anymore, guys.
I can't. Yeah. Also,
my brain is confused.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we were in the ghost arc, so all the characters we were talking about being alive in season one were like back as ghosts in season three. It was so confusing.
It was very confusing, especially for Sarah. But yeah, just generally, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And it was hard to stay on top of it. But yeah, we stopped at 1912 because it was like, that's also kind of like a one or two episode lull.
Yeah, for in season three. Yeah, so I'm excited to finally like get through season three. For the first time in like 2 years.
Woo. I know. It's been a long time since I've seen like the season three finale.
Yeah.
Heart of Darkness. Yeah. Dangerous Liaise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Need I go on? Yeah.
I know. I'm excited.
Yeah.
But I'm excited also to post about these things and get to interact with you guys on socials about them. We love, love, love talking to you guys on Instagram and TikTok. Those things have obviously grown so much in the year that we've started the podcast.
Yeah.
And I love the little like community that we've created. It's so fun. Mm-hmm. You guys are always sending us stuff. Like we get sent the clip of all the product placement in the Vampire Diaries like every few days. People just know that we love that. Like we always are getting tagged in videos of like Klaus's stylist. It's so excited for it, season three. So I love that you guys know that we appreciate these things because they're great. Know.
Oh my god, yeah, the stylist is really bad. I'm excited to talk about it.
Excited for that.
Yeah,
but yeah, we've been trying to get more experimental, a little bit more creative on like Instagram, especially because we can do polls, we can do all sorts of like fun ways to interact and like help, you know, create the conversation around Vampire Diaries. And so one thing we did was for season two's The Decade Dance, The Last Dance, we did a little poll to like decide the best outfits, which obviously had to include Elena and Bonnie and Caroline. Mm-hmm. They had the best 60s looks. And then you need a fourth to just round it out. So let's throw Damon in there. We loved his leather pants.
Yep.
And you guys voted Damon as the winner. I was livid. I was like, these people.
I voted for Damon. I was like, I love
Yeah, I was like genuinely like I was so shocked, and Rachel was like, "This is the crowd we've pulled together. Like, these are our people."
Yeah, the Damon fans. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
To be fair, it was close. Damon won with like 27%, and Caroline was right behind him with like 26%. So
okay, that's fair.
It was close, but I was like, "How did Damon win best dressed? He's in a black shirt and black pants, which he wears every single day."
Also over like Bonnie, Elena.
Yeah, Elena's iconic purple like hippie dress. Yeah, I was like, you guys.
Yeah, Elena's outfit is probably like top 10 most iconic of the whole show.
Yeah, like, they were like, Damon, he wore Damon. Leather pants instead of regular jeans.
He wore his usual all black, but he still killed it.
Yeah, so funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, speaking of funny, God. Also another thing we did was for episode 216, which is the girls' night when Caroline sings at the Mystic Grill for Matt, we ran a little Q&A of like, what other songs do you think Caroline would sing for Matt? We got so many Taylor Swift songs, which, again, this is where it's fun to see what people say, because we were talking in the episode about, like, it feels like she should have sang something else, but I don't know what. And then when I saw all the people saying Taylor Swift, I was like, obviously.
Oh, I know. I'm surprised choice. She didn't do, like, I don't even know, like, what Taylor Swift would have been
Love
out.
Story.
That's what I was thinking. I'm not sure if it was out, but yeah.
It would have been Love Story, at least. I don't know. I think it might have been your, like, Red era. I'm not sure. But yeah.
That makes way more sense than
Taylor's
the Bengals.
Yeah, that was such a random choice. And I am surprised we didn't think of Taylor Swift when we were talking about it. But I was like, yep, they know.
Taylor makes so much sense. Yeah.
Yeah, Taylor's perfect. But of course, we got lots of funny responses too, like a Hannah Montana song.
Okay.
Of course, we all know Candace was a backup singer for Hannah Montana. So that's really funny.
That would have been really good.
And then, of course, we got some calling out Matt and Caroline's relationship, like Hot and Cold by Katy Perry, which I was that is so funny.
Oh, that's true.
It's so accurate.
Yeah, even right now going into season three, I don't remember, are they broken up or are they back together? They're broken up. Yeah. The last episode. Yeah,
next one she's gonna be all about Tyler. So.
Yeah. Oh my god.
But yeah, yes. It's so funny. A lot of the times we use the polls to break ties for best song. That's one that comes up a lot, where one of us feels very strongly about one song and the other disagrees. And so you guys help us break polls there, which is great when you side with me.
Yeah.
But except for one time when we were split too. We were like, we don't really have a favorite. So we did Yeah 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 by New Politics and The Fellowship by Smashing Pumpkins right up against each other for episode 205. And you guys tied the votes exact. Like the exact number of votes for both songs. It was a perfect tie. It was like, we're never doing a poll again. This didn't help us at all.
And then didn't we do more polls? And weren't some of them still very close? I feel like we had two 50-50s.
That was the only exact 50-50. But a lot of times it's close. Because like I said, it usually happens when one of us is split. Or like one of us has one opinion, one has the other. And so... yeah, people are also split.
Yeah.
I think there's only been like one time I can think of where I didn't know what it was. It was when I was like, it has to be I was wrong. And you were like, it has to be Wolf Like Me. And everyone was like, it has to be I was wrong. Like, that's such an iconic song. So I was like,
I don't even remember that song right now to this day.
Oh, gosh. Well, you're going to have a fun time in the next week's episode.
Here's the thing. I listen to Wolf Like Me like all the time, like just on a regular day. And I think. I will say, this can be my little sidebar to defend my music choices. A lot of these songs I listen to every day, so I always go with those. I'm like, if it's part of my daily rotation, of course.
But, yeah, that's the funny thing. We definitely have a different ideology about how we choose the songs, which definitely affects the choices. And so that's where the polls sometimes get affected, too.
That's where they come. That's where they help, My favorite poll was when it was in the... it must have been the 60s dance.
The last dance,
I was like, it's gotta be. I Think We're Alone Now. And you picked the Mamas and the Papas song. Yeah,
Dedicated to the One I Love.
Yeah, Dedicated to the One I Love. Thank you. Couldn't even remember even now. But yeah, you all voted for I Think We're Alone Now. So
yeah, I won a lot.
Thank you. Thank you all. Even though it was kind of an 80s vibe song. 80s / Vampire Diaries, because it's like the remix by Birthday Massacre.
Yeah, I was pissed. I was like, that is the most 80s song ever. How could they pick that song?
We had a lot of back and forth about this in the group chat.
There was a lot of texting. I was angry about other things in my life, and I was taking it out on the poll. I will admit to that. However, I was livid, and I listened to the song. I don't know if you look at my earbuds, but I listened to the song about 1,000 times, both of them, like the 80s one and this one, back and forth, and I came to the conclusion, I just don't like the song. I just don't like I Think We're Alone Now. And that was my... But I listened to Dedicated to the One I Love, like, genuinely, like, at least a few times a week for years. I love that song.
Yeah, I've never...
So that was where I was biased for a song that I listened to rather than a song in the moment, maybe. But I don't know. I still stand by it. Klaus dedicating it to her. I'm like, that's such a...
No, it makes a lot of sense. And I think the reason for picking I Think We're Alone Now is, like, it is... The original was written in the 60s. The Tiffany 80s version is a cover. Yes. So I guess that's the rationale. But...
However, and it's so 80s voted.
We did pre-talk about this in the group chat, like we're saying. But they're definitely emulating, like, the Tiffany 80s version.
Yeah.
And then, it's, like, the weird... The Birthday Massacre cover. So it's, like, a weird blend of a lot of things. And it's kind of random.
Yeah. That's my problem, too, is I'm such a stickler for historical accuracy, which I know nobody else cares about. But
I'm
do. Like,
I Think We're Alone Now is fun.
I'm just a stickler for accuracy. Yeah. So that was also why it just bothered me.
Yeah. But the rest of us like to have fun.
Yeah. The rest of you, whatever. You won your poll.
Me and all the poll voters love to have fun.
Love that.
But
so we're always having a good time in the polls. It's always fun. I'm always having a good time in the comments, because now we're gonna go over some comments.
I have
so many fun comments to talk about.
I went through all of the YouTube videos and I pulled, like, first of all, so many comments, and a lot of them, I will say, if you don't hear your comment being discussed, we're also going to potentially talk about some comments in, like, a longer comments theories call-in episode, where you can, you know, call in, leave us a little voice message, or write us something if you'd rather do that. And we're talking about those, and I pulled so many comments, but I'm gonna try to stick to the ones that are more, like, a little bit brief. Like, we'll just talk about them quickly and move on. So I'm gonna pull out the phone and let me read some of these comments, because you guys say both the funniest things and also, like, the most, like, insightful things, as we've already kind of talked about.
Yeah, good theories and stuff gets us thinking.
Yeah, I'll kind of go, I guess I'll go in order of, like, when the episodes happen, because that's how I...
Yeah, that makes sense.
Just, like, pulled them from the videos. In season 1, episode 10, Joanna commented and said, and this is an episode where we're talking about, like, how Stefan's bloodlust is weirdly sexual.
Oh, yeah.
And Joanna commented and said, maybe Stefan relates his bloodlust to sex because of Catherine. She made it something sexual, and that was his introduction to blood. I love your podcast, by the way, so thank you for that. But yeah, I thought that was so insightful. I'm like, that actually makes a lot of sense.
It definitely does.
And same for Damon, like, why he's always going after women.
Yeah.
Like, there's something there. I feel like that was a very insightful, little thing I just wanted to give a shout out to.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense as a theory. I think, like we talked about in that episode, mm-hmm. there's definitely something to be said about, like, passion and strong emotions.
That too.
Just triggering definitely. Hunger. That comes up all the time. But I think it's very valid to, like, also question the fact that, like, Catherine was, as we saw, feeding on them.
Yeah.
In, like, very intimate situations.
Definitely.
And so, like, it's not surprising that it's something that would become very entangled for Damon and Stefan.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Maybe so Caroline, too, with Damon. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. But, yeah, I thought that was a really good point. And then in season 2, episode 1... Messer Lynn 60. I'm gonna botch all these usernames. I want to give you guys shout outs, but I'm probably, some of them are also just like random numbers
you're
and letters.
You're just gonna have to guess if it's you. Yeah.
If it's you, you might know, you might not. Okay, this was the episode, obviously, where Caroline turns, and they commented and said, I think that Bonnie immediately agrees that Damon should give Caroline his blood because she blames herself for the fact that Caroline's in the hospital since Matt told her that the crash happened because of Tyler, getting the headache and everything. Which... Yeah, Bonnie, again, she feels so much guilt for them. Like, this was all her fault. Kind of looked over that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's very true. I think that Bonnie does hold a lot of guilt about saying she dispelled the Gilbert device and not dispelling it at all. Yeah, and that leading to so many of her friends and people she knows dying.
Yeah, literally, Tyler's father died because of it. Yeah. Anna died because of it.
Yeah Damon almost died.
Damon almost died.
Was saved because of Bonnie. Because she probably felt guilty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we don't talk enough. I think we did actually talk about
it
a lot.
We talked about it quite a bit.
We don't talk enough about Bonnie's little guilt in the beginning of season 2.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that was a really good point too. Oh, this is another one where it's... letters and numbers, la la. I'm not sure. This
you'll
one,
know if it's you.
You'll know if it's you. This one was just a funny one that I loved, and I have to read it like it's written. This episode is so good. Parentheses. Elijah and Elena had so much potential as lovers.
They did. Like, you're right.
You're right.
You're so valid for that.
I just thought it was a funny parenthesis to put with the. Like, this episode is so good.
Yeah.
Which it is. I do love episode 8. But I was like,
yeah, that's so funny.
Funny.
They did.
Really,
I mean, I'm not shocked that they didn't ever expand on it, obviously, because she's already got Stefan and Damon. There's too much going
There's
on with Elena
way
to
too much
add
going
in another
on.
Vampire.
Yeah.
But it would have been good.
Missed opportunity.
I would have been okay with a throuple situation. I would have been
same.
Okay with it.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I don't know. Elena also just has so much chemistry with everyone. Because I also
see
a little bit of her and Klaus in season 3.
Yeah.
We'll get to it, but yeah.
We get a lot of comments like that of people saying, like, Nina has this chemistry with everybody.
She does. No,
she really
does. No, she really does.
But Daniel is a standout for me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, maybe this is why I put this in this order. This is the same commenter. And this was on season 2, episode 10. I was thinking this whole episode that on Halloween, y'all should dress up as Inadu and Davina. You would look amazing. I love that suggestion. And I really did, when you commented this, I really did contemplate like how we could do that. Because I feel like Davina is pretty, and also for those of you who haven't watched the originals, these are two originals characters. Davina would be hard. She's kind of just...
I know, just a girl.
Just a girl. I guess you could do like her Harvest Girl white dress.
Oh, that'd be fun.
And then Inadu is... Oh my gosh, I'm blanking on the Ouroboros sign.
The hollow,
yeah. And I've only seen originals once, forgive me. But yeah, I feel like for that, maybe there's something there with like the glowing blue.
Yeah.
Because that's like the hollow symbol glows blue. Again, you can just fast forward through this if you haven't seen the originals. But yeah, there's something there. And I always appreciate the comments about all the people we look like.
I know, it's always so funny. Yeah, you got told you looked like Elena. And I didn't tell Rachel
that
for
weeks. Oh my God.
Like, I can't inflate her ego like this.
No, I did see that when I was going back through the comments. And I was
so
like,
funny.
Oh, I'll never come down from this.
It's so funny.
Even though I don't really look like Elena / Nina. But thank you, whoever said that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Love it.
Yeah, love that. Always love all those comments. Okay. Now I have two from season 2, episode 11. The first one, I really like this comment. This is a second part of like a longer comment, but Erene, some numbers. I'm botching all of these. Maybe I should just give up on the usernames, but I want to give you guys your flowers. But they said, the way Elijah in these early episodes really feels in every scene like he's playing with the Salvators. Like, he's amused by Elena and the Salvators. The way you'd be amused by a child doing something, almost.
I really thought that was funny. Yeah, I saw that one, too. That's a great comment, because I do think it's so true. I think he is very amused by Elena. I think that's very accurate. It's like, he does not have to do any of the things he does with her, which he says at one point. He's like, I could just take you and you, none of you ever see her again. Like, I don't have to be doing any of this, which, of course, part of it is his noble honor code thing.
Yeah.
But I do think another part of it is sort of enjoying Elena and just kind of like having fun with her and just being like, I'll play your games.
Yeah. I also think he's having gone through a similar dynamic with Tatia.
Yeah.
I feel like he's very intrigued by her dynamic with the Salvatore brothers. That's, I think, true. He's like, let's see how this plays out.
Yeah, it gets boring after like 1,000 years. Might as well.
Exactly. Yeah, and also I think that's why he keeps Damon and Stefan around too. It's like, well, I needed some fun. Let them try to kill me. Like, let's see how this happens.
Make it interesting. Whereas Klaus is like, no. Klaus
is like, let's just kill them all and be
done. He loves Stefan, obviously.
Well, yeah, but Damon, I think that, he could do without.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, and then another one on that same episode. I'm gonna give up. Okay, no more usernames. Find the comments if you want to see who commented them. But this person said, I think Catherine found out about Elena and there being a new doppelganger when she met Mason.
Oh.
He probably reacted to her calling her Elena and explaining how she looks like her high school friend's niece.
Maybe.
I'm trying to follow that. Yeah. But basically, I think they're saying, like, maybe Catherine met Mason in Florida and Mason was like, Elena?
Maybe, but that creeps me out if that happened. That's even worse.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah.
Although he thought Tyler would look like a little boy when he got there, so would he really know who Tyler's
friends look like? Oh, yeah, that's true. He kind of seems like he hasn't seen her.
I don't know. But I do think that's an interesting theory, because I thought this was interesting. I think this is based on the fact that we were speculating in that episode of, like, how did Catherine know that there was another doppelganger? Mm-hmm. Like, how did this time... Because she was with Mason a year before she showed up.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that enough, because I think we thought about it a little bit after the fact. But, yeah, Mason and Catherine date for, like, a full year before any of this goes down. Because when Mason kills his friend that triggers the werewolf curse, it says, like, 1 year ago in the flashback.
Yeah.
What?
Which would be before, like, Elena's parents even died, before and Damon came back in town. Like, she was on the trail fast, which is really weird.
Yeah, it kind of doesn't really make sense how long she had been orchestrating this. Like, it does, because it seems so Catherine.
Yeah, it's so Catherine.
But realistically, like,
how did she know?
How did she know anything about this?
I don't know, because I can't imagine John or Isabel would tell her. Maybe Isabel did. I don't know.
It could have been Isabel, because we know Isabel sought out Catherine, like, shortly after she was turned.
Yeah.
And they had been
around that sort of time.
Yeah. And they had been kind of besties, it seems like, basically that whole time.
Yeah.
And...
But would Isabel really out her own daughter?
I don't know.
This gets into our usual debate. I was going to say, Isabel's morality.
I didn't pull this comment, but speaking of comments, someone else commented, like, how Isabel is such an interesting character, because the more you think about her, the less you know about her.
That's
so true.
We go in such circles with her.
Yeah, I think I've changed my position on what I think about her since watching her season one episode.
Yeah.
I just don't even know what to make of her. But
I don't
either.
I know none of her, like, it doesn't make sense. Which I guess that's the whole not, like, humanity thing. But
yeah.
I don't know.
But that's a larger discussion. Yeah, but either way, I thought it was interesting the fact that it could have been reversed. Like, Mason somehow, like, introduced Catherine to the idea. But
yeah, it is interesting to think about.
Yeah.
It's one of those things you'll just never know. We don't know.
We'll never know. It's purely speculative. But we love to speculate here.
That's why we're all here.
Yeah, that's why we're all here. On Season 2, episode 18, I also have a few comments. This person said... Oh, these were two back-to-back. They're unrelated, but I love them. This person says... Ghostly Raina says, Damon was right at the end, not gonna lie. Stefan is a snitch. He definitely would have told Elena and would have jeopardized the plan. The plan being to have Bonnie fake her death.
Yeah, this would have been the last dance.
Yeah. Truthfully, who cares about Elena's feelings compared to defeating Klaus? Like, she'll be all right. First of all, I love Stefan is a snitch. I thought that was so funny.
Stefan is
so true. So true. But also, I guess that is a good point. Like, yeah, Elena's gonna be hurt, but at the end you're trying to defeat Klaus. I don't know,
emotional torture for eventual physical, like, saving. I don't know, it's such a line. It's like, Elena definitely wouldn't choose that.
No, of course not.
So
but.
Yeah, I don't know. I see what they're saying. And I see Damon's justification in it for sure. Do I agree with it? I honestly
still
don't
know. Sure. But I do agree Stefan's a snitch.
We'll agree with that. Yeah.
The next one is literally one word, but I wish we had thought about it. It has to do with Klaus being in Alaric's body. They just commented, Reklaus.
Why did we not say that?
That is brilliant. Thank you, user hyphen QX2JD, blah, blah, blah. That is brilliant. I wish we had thought of that. Reklaus.
We're going to go back and re-record all of season two.
Bleep over it. Like, you just hear a voiceover. Reklaus.
Every time we're like, Alaric Klaus.
Yeah, just we're going to record over it. But I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, we should have called him Reklaus. Yeah. That was good.
Literally one word comment, but I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I had a lot from... I guess The Last Dance probably had a lot of comments. Yeah. But...
meaty episode.
Yeah. This one is... there's like a conversation, but something commented, I always wonder how Klaus compels Dana when he's in Alaric's body, so surely he wouldn't have vamp powers. Like, if he doesn't have to be invited in, surely he isn't able to be compelled, or sorry, to compel people. Little bit of an inconsistency there, but I can look past it because it's such a good episode. Love the pod and the outfits. And then, I don't know if you want me to read the rest of the reply comments, or do you want to comment on that?
Well, I was just going to say, I do remember seeing this when this episode came out, and I was like, oh, we should have thought of that.
Yeah.
That's such a true call out. Because, yeah, if he has enough or not enough magic that he doesn't need to be invited in, but he has enough magic to compel people, that makes no sense.
Yeah, no, I never even really thought about that inconsistency that much. But, yeah, he doesn't get invited in, and he seems to just, like, walk in because he's in Alaric's human body. But, yeah, then how does all of this stuff with Dana go down? And we do see it is compulsion because he compels all the kids guys to fight Jeremy. Yeah.
So it doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense, but I did like the comments, and I do think one commenter had a really good point that could make it make sense. The next comment says, I think maybe they just cut the scene of Alaric being invited in and let the audience to just kind of assume he was invited in, because it's not the most important detail. So I thought that was a good point, but then this one I think really explains it. This person, Caleb, said, I just assume that when people body hop, they maintain the mind powers they have. Like, implying the body is human, but your mind maybe is still...
kind of like the Travelers.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
So I thought, like, that was maybe a good justification.
Yeah, I mean, like a loose, you know, like, way to...
yeah, it's like, it's probably just an inconsistency in the show, yeah, but...
but it is interesting to think about the things that it could apply or not. Because the other thing that came to my mind was, like, maybe Maddox can apply some sort of spell that allows him to keep some sort of...
yeah.
Because Maddox was, like, basically compelling Carol with his magic.
That's true. Yeah, he did the whole phone call thing. Yeah.
So who knows if that could be a situation or if it is just as simple as keeping something about your mind, but... yeah, I don't know. It is a weird inconsistency, ultimately.
Yeah, I don't know. But I did like the little point about it could be, someone, like your body not having the powers, but your mind.
Yeah,
but
does make sense.
I thought that was really interesting, and I wish we had talked about that during the episode.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we got to talk about it now.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, two more, actually. Okay. This one is from the second to last episode of season two. Sugarman said... this is a really long comment, so I'll give, like, the one line that I really, really liked. This person is saying they don't understand why everyone loves Elijah, and they said, it's funny as most women seem to love them both. From a guy's perspective, Elijah is the worst as he doesn't have a noble bone in his body. Which I was like, I kind of get that. He doesn't act very noble in what we get of him in season two. Like, the finale really does a lot to break our trust.
That's true.
But a little bit later in the comment, they said something that we were laughing about. I did pre-read this one to Sarah. Most of these are a surprise for her, but I did pre-read this. This person said, let me make sure. Oh, I guess you guys are suckers for the British accent. Imagine them as Americans. You'd see them differently, I'd bet. It's like, I have to read that because it's so true. You're so right.
If you're not wrong.
If they were just American, I'd be like, oh, Klaus and Elijah, I hate that.
Yeah, there's a reason Enzo, who's an American, is doing an English accent. Even these guys, Daniel is not English,
yeah, that's true, so. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so funny. It's
I know.
It's kind of true.
It's so true.
Yeah.
It is. You called us out, and I thought it was good to have a little call out in this section.
We're always willing to be called out.
Yeah. And then the last comment I have for this episode... Strife 93 commented on the season 2 finale, so a recent one. This one was so funny. I was laughing hysterically. It would have been such a good callback if when Jeremy woke up after being brought to life, Rick pulled out a laptop and says, I have my AT&T MiFi. You need to FaceTime Liz and let her know you're alive.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, the product placement is always so poorly. It's like,
so bad.
So insensitive.
Yeah, it is so insensitive. I'm surprised they didn't do that.
Yeah. I mean, he did, like, FaceTime with Bonnie.
He did FaceTime Bonnie, so. Yeah. I know. I'm surprised they didn't use that for a bigger... Yeah. Plug yeah. for something.
It had to have still been. I'm sure it was an AT&T computer.
Oh, I'm sure. And he does Bing right before Back from the
That's
Dead.
That's true. So it was still
an ad. At least Bing.
Yeah, either way.
But yeah, I thought that was really funny. Just the idea that he really funny. FaceTimes Liz with the MiFi in the witch house.
I love would have
been funny.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Yeah. But those were all the comments you guys had for this episode. There were so many I wanted to talk about and so many good theories. We'll get to more. And I also want to give a shout out to all the comments that say they love the podcast. We see all your comments and appreciate them.
Yeah. Very
don't
sweet.
Don't think because I didn't read like a comment that says love your podcast that I didn't see it and love it.
Yeah.
So
I do read every comment like as they come up.
Yeah.
Same. You know, now when you're reading them, I've forgotten them because it's been a little while.
Yeah.
But I do
like the one from
every
season
single
one.
Comment. Even if we don't like, even if we don't reply, we're probably reading it and enjoying it.
Yeah, exactly.
We're probably screenshotting and texting it to each other.
Yeah.
Like, did you see this? I will say I love the YouTube comments.
Yes, that's true.
Beef with the TikTok comments.
Yeah.
Not to get into that. Yeah, I mean, sometimes the TikTok comments are great. Sometimes they're fun, but sometimes they're just like, I'm going to fight people.
Yeah, I feel like people are a little more combative in the TikTok comments.
Yeah, it's probably
comments.
Not you guys. It's probably randos. One I have some beef with everybody, Instagram, TikTok, is the leather jacket, the tan jacket. I talked about in episode 219 how Elena, when she's with Elijah at the Lockwoods, like learning about everything with Klaus, she's wearing this tan leather jacket that looks super, super similar to the one that she wears in 102, The Night of the Comet. I was like, they look identical. Everyone was commenting, being like, they're not the same at all. They don't even look the same. I was like, what? Like, maybe they're not the same. I'm not saying that they're for sure the same.
No, however, I'm willing to say they're the same.
I'm at this point willing to say the same because I have like screenshotted, looked at every single angle. I'm like, I can't find a single detail about these coats that's not the same. So I don't know what people are talking about.
No.
They're like, they're different colors. I'm like, they're the same. They're both tan. She has a black one too, but they're both tan.
She does have the black one. It's like that ruched sleeve.
Yeah.
Like almost like a 3/4 sleeve.
Yeah.
So I know the black one you're talking about. Maybe
but
that's
I'm
what people
about
think
about. Tan one.
But the tan one is the same. Like, put a side by side in this
I'm
video.
I'm literally putting a side by side. Because like, people have also said the button, there's not a button at the top of the 219 one. There is. It's folded in. You can see it's like clipped inside.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same exact jacket. I don't know what you're
talking
about.
No, it's the same.
It makes
me
so mad.
No, it's the same jacket.
I'm like, you commented on one TikTok after 40 seconds of watching it. I looked at this coat for hours.
I was going to say, I spent 30 minutes finding this, like, a dude. I was gonna buy it on eBay. Like, you don't even know.
I know. I'm like, it has to be the same jacket. If it's not, somebody tell me and I'll take it. But don't tell me they don't even look similar. They look exactly the same.
Gaslighters.
They are gaslighters.
No, they're the same jacket. I'm fully convinced.
I believe it.
Yeah, no.
A comment that this is just very random. Someone said, Damon likes being clean, LOL. He's always bathing, cleaning up the house, worried about getting blood on the rugs. And he even uses the germaphobe excuse when Connor the Hunter like tries to shake his hand.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Like, I've never connected these dots, but I'm gonna bring this up like all of season 3 now because I think that's really funny.
That's really interesting. Would Damon be on Clean Girl Aesthetic TikTok?
He might
probably
be. No, you know what?
Interesting.
Actually, you know who that's giving? Resand. That's giving Akatar.
Oh my god.
That's very
resand
coded. The lint all
the
time.
Lint, picking like, the lint, which oh my gosh, I also see all the TikToks about like the deeper meaning behind that. That I'm like
interesting.
I feel like it works for Damon too. But no, that's a very recent thing.
Yeah, love that for
Him. Love that. I know Sarah J. Maas has watched Vampire Diaries. I know she
has. This
No.
Like, she definitely hasn't.
She hasn't. No. The Vampire Diaries.
She absolutely
I'm like, she's seen it. I know she has.
Yeah, she definitely
You can't hide a TVD fan from me.
Yeah.
I know.
I can sniff them out
or
something.
Yeah. No, I know.
But
anyway, yeah, very recent coded.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll talk about more comments, like you said, in the special that we're going to do in a few weeks. But from that, from socials, we're going to transition into more socials. Our most viral like clips and things we posted from the podcast that have really like resonated with people. Because like we're just throwing stuff at the wall. I'm just posting stuff and seeing what people like. It's of course always interesting like within this you know community of what you guys comment on. It's kind of stuff you expect in terms of like resonating with certain scenes. There are things that are popular in Vampire Diaries
you know, culture, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
But some of it isn't. It's like stuff will like really randomly just get like a lot of views, hundreds of thousands of views, and you don't always expect it. So we kind of want to look at some of those and replay them for you and then talk about what resonated with them. So the first one we're going to talk about, probably our one of our most, if not our most viewed clip, like with 400,000 views on Instagram, was talking about the funny shot of Damon lurking behind Stefan.
Oh my God.
I love the shot that they do there because they zoom in on Stefan like watching Mason walking away. Mm-hmm. And then it quickly like whip pans to Damon standing next to him all of a sudden. And I love it. It's
really good.
That's such a funny one because it's such a short little clip. But obviously it makes sense why it resonated like on socials where you can actually see the video clip. So if you haven't seen the clip we're talking about, you gotta watch the clip.
A little hard for the audio listener. But yeah. No, the shot is funny. I mean, if you wanna go look it up, not in the podcast, it's season 2, episode 5. But yeah. It's just really I think that one resonates. I feel like people like seeing like a good shot. I don't know. I feel like that's, I don't know any
people
other reason why.
People appreciate like a creative camera angle. And it's funny. It is funny. People on Instagram can comment like the gif of like the moment, which I think a lot of people did, which is funny. So it makes sense. It's just a cute little quick little shot that's just like, it's funny. Just funny. You might not even remember it, which is maybe why it did so well. So
yeah, that's true. I do think that's good. I think people always like, also when you like pull back something that you might not have caught on a first watch.
Yeah, definitely. So speaking of that, actually the second clip, one of our also most highly performing on TikTok was Damon, Stefan, and Elena in the morning in bed with Stefan's foot.
Iconic. Roll the clip. Damon goes in and wakes him up, and of course Elena and Stefan are in bed. Elena has on like a camisole, but like Stefan is shirtless. Damon comes in, Stefan pulls the sheet over him like he's
Stefan has to cover up. Damon can't see. Which Damon's line is brilliant. He's like, if I see anything I haven't before, I'll throw a dollar at him. It's like, brilliant. Because really, Stefan, what are you hiding that Damon can't see?
He's shirtless all the time.
I don't know. It's so funny.
He doesn't even like cover up Elena. Like he covers up himself. It's such a good scene.
It's such a good scene. And for anyone who's not in like the TikTok fandom or anything like that and hasn't seen the convention clips, there's some pretty behind the scenes funny things that just the angling of the cameras, there's some things to be suggested. We'll definitely post a meme on our TikTok.
Yeah, there's some scenes to pull.
It's pretty funny, so we will definitely post that.
Definitely.
That's such a funny one. I don't even care.
That's a pretty
I don't even care how many people commented and were like, you guys are annoying, like it's just so funny.
Yeah, the number of commenters, it's his foot. Like, I don't care. It's still funny.
Also, like I said in the clip, like, it's a popular thing that gets talked about at cons all the time. Which is partially why we even noticed or talked about it. I don't know if I would have noticed if Damon Ian wasn't talking about it.
No, I know. I think that's why, like, the clip did so well. But I also do think it's really funny because of Damon's quote.
Yeah,
if I see something I haven't seen before, I'll throw a dollar at it. Yeah. I always forget that's in there too. But
that's such an iconic.
So funny.
Yeah, so funny. And Stefan's like covering himself, which people were like, he's covering Elena. I was like, maybe, but he's still mostly covered.
Mostly covers himself.
She's also in a tank top.
Yeah, she's also in a tank top. She doesn't need to be covered. Yeah. Neither does he. But
funny. Yeah, I like
that's
that
a great
one.
Clip. Yeah. I love that one.
Me too. Also love the next one, which I remember this was our first clip that like popped off on TikTok. And this was, of course, talking about Damon and Anna meeting in the town square and it being freezing.
Yeah.
Also on that Anna and Damon scene, that scene kills me because it's so clearly freezing
winter
outside.
Yes. I noticed. So I've noticed you can see their breath.
Yeah.
I've noticed that in previous episodes because it's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
And also Anna looks like she's freezing to
her
death.
Little
she's
nose
so
is
cold.
So
yeah. She's so red.
Yeah. Even Ian, his hands are like really red and like, they just visibly look freezing.
Yes. They look so cold, which I get it. Like for Damon, especially, you want him to be in his leather jacket. It's his thing.
Yeah.
But can we get Anna a real coat, please? Like,
but even then, it's like, why could we have not moved this conversation into the grill? When we were planning the filming schedules and we were like, oh, it's going to be like,
let's get the grill.
Below freezing. Let's just do it in the studio. Like, let's not make our actors go outside.
I don't know.
Why did they do that?
I have no idea. Yeah. I also noticed there is a little bit of snow on the ground.
Yeah, you can see snow.
Which, you know, makes sense. It works for the time. It's, like, supposed to be, like, November,
yeah, I think. Yeah, it works within the show.
But, yeah, why not just go inside? Or yeah, properly dress Anna, like, one of the two. I don't know. Because
even if she's a vampire and she doesn't technically get cold,
you can see you she's freezing to death.
Yeah, you can see yeah, she's freezing to death, first of all. And second of all, you can definitely put her in a coat. Everyone else is wearing a coat. Yeah. She'll just blend in.
Yeah, you would just wear it to blend in. Like, yeah, you can chalk it up to that.
Easy.
Funny that that did so well. It's just, like, a clip speculating, like yeah, we always do.
Yeah. I think, well, I think a little bit of it is sort of what I was saying with, like, the shot to Damon from yeah, Seven. People love little, like, behind the scenes slash, like, things you never noticed before.
Yes.
I think people really like seeing that sort of thing.
Yeah, I agree. Again, it's the Damon and Stefan and Elena in bed situation. It's
yeah,
anything you haven't noticed before is always, like, fun to point out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think something like this, too, again, behind the scenes, like, something that is, like, about the actors, it's about the actual filming, is right, like really fun to like notice and like
yeah, I think
the,
so too,
the redness of their noses is not something you pick up the first watch yeah, that's because we've watched it 1,000 times and we're like, you can see their breath in this yeah, scene, you like
see Anna's freezing to death
yeah, yeah. Yeah, and there's something fun about that too, of like of realizing the reality of which they're filming in rather than like yeah, imagining it as this glamorous thing. I yeah, think that's always interesting for people.
Yeah, sort of like Nina looking like really tired at the yeah, end of season two. It's like yeah, she was putting in the work.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, little stuff like that you pick up on, which I don't know, it's always fun.
Definitely.
Also, I think that one's so popular because people love Anna.
People love Anna. I think a lot of stuff we did related to Anna did really well. Anytime she was like a thumbnail or anything, mm-hmm, people love Anna, which I love Anna, but it was yeah, just surprising to see how well that clicks with people.
I know. I really love Anna too, but I always kind of feel like she gets ruined a little bit in season three with yes, the ghost cheating girlfriend.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's funny that people still seem to really like Anna.
They do, which perfectly takes us into our next clip, which is talking about speculating Anna and Pearl's age.
Ooh. Pearl also says she's got 400 or 500 years on Damon.
Yes. This was the other thing yeah, I wanted to talk about.
Which, there is so much more that, I mean, it would all be purely speculation. Mm-hmm. But I'm just wondering, how long were she and Catherine friends? Like, mm-hmm, how long have they been together?
Because that was her older than Catherine.
Yeah, 500 years before Damon is 650 years before.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I would love to know how they kind of came together. Also, yeah, does that make Anna?
Okay, this like is what I was... 700
years old?
This was going to ask. Whatever? This was the first time watching this that I was like, wait a second, is Anna even Pearl's biological daughter? I had okay, always assumed...
I had that same thought, too.
I'd always assumed she was, but then in this scene, like, thinking about it, and she said 500 years older, and she knocked Damon out, like, fast. Like,
in a second.
On the yeah, ground in a second. Anna and him were perfectly power matched.
Yeah.
Like, they held each other and, like, held.
Yeah.
Which, to me, indicates they're probably similar in age. Granted, yeah, like, she's in a younger body, but we've never been told
yeah,
that, like, turning as a 15-year-old versus as a 25-year-old makes any difference on your strength. It's always been about your actual age.
Yeah.
Which, if Anna has 500 years on Damon, she should have been able to also put him on the ground flat.
Yeah, that's what I would think. I mean... I think there is something to the idea that her being, like, probably 15 would make her weaker. Because Damon is, like, 25.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I do think that could make her weaker.
But we've seen Caroline, who was 17, take out yeah, Damon. I don't know. Yeah, like you said, people love Anna. I think that's a big part of that.
Yeah, I do think that's a big part of that clip. But also, I'm thinking about it, and, like, I'm still so curious about that topic. Like, I obviously forgot about it because we've done season two. Yeah. We're so far removed.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're so far removed from Anna and Pearl. But I'm still wondering, like, is Anna Pearl's biological daughter? What is yeah, her age? And we didn't talk about this in that clip, and I don't think we talked about it at all. But a lot of the vampires are 17. They're yes, still, like, children.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even if Anna's, like, 15, I don't know. I feel like...
Is that that big of a difference?
Is that that big of a difference? 17? Yeah. I feel like she must be just younger. And therefore, yeah, probably not Pearl's biological daughter.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think I saw in those comments, too, that people were like, it just chalks up to vampires being inconsistent about strength and power true, and how people compare against each other, which I think is very true.
Yeah, that's true. Because, like, the Caroline overpowering Damon moment is when she's supposed to be, like, super emotional. So that's how yeah, she's able to...
Yeah.
Yeah, the lines definitely blur. And it's obviously, like, they probably just didn't think about it this yeah, hard as the writers. They yeah, weren't expecting it to be dissected like this.
No.
But...
But yeah, here we are.
I still think it's very interesting. And yeah, people love Anna.
Yeah, people love Anna. And they wish they knew more about Anna and Pearl, like, you know, we do. Yeah. So it resonated when we were talking about it that people were like, we also want to know.
Yeah.
Something else that always resonates is just whenever we talk about outfits, looks, makeup, we've had lots of clips do really well of that, specifically Catherine in 1492 talking about how much we loved the curly hair, the green dress, the necklace.
Yes.
It was such a great look. Again, Alina's tan jacket got a lot of views. Mm-hmm. And Alina's makeup, we've talked about several times and had several of those get lots of views. People love, and we love, Alina's naked Urban Decay, smoky eye looks.
Yes.
Her heavy concealer looks.
It's so era appropriate.
So era appropriate.
So, it looks so good.
Yeah. Speaking of era appropriate, Caroline's outfits that we like to hate on, those always do and that people are mad at us for hating those outfits. They're very 2009, which is fine if you like that, but we don't in that way.
Yeah.
So we never like those. But yeah, people always like that. And then another person, of course, everyone always likes is Bonnie.
Of course.
So our last clip is us talking about Bonnie always being left out.
Aww.
So the Miss Mystic girls are on their float.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Bonnie is just in the crowd cheering along. She looks so happy, to be fair.
She does.
But why does Bonnie not get to be included on any float? She planned the Miss Mystic Falls float with Caroline.
Yeah.
And I know she didn't compete in it, but still, she doesn't get to be on any floats. Because also, like, the next float over is the football team with the cheerleaders, and Bonnie's a cheerleader. Why doesn't Bonnie get to be with the cheerleaders?
I don't know. Bonnie's left out.
Bonnie's always getting excluded.
Left out, yeah.
Yeah. Wonder why Bonnie's always getting left out.
Unfortunately, and I think this is probably why it popped off, because I'm sure people commented this.
Yeah, the thing we didn't say.
Yeah, the thing we didn't say. We all know. Obviously, people are very aware of, like, the poor treatment of Kat Graham on set. And
definitely.
Yeah, she just, I don't know, it bled into her character. Bonnie was always... We talked about this in season one. She's just absent for like
she's
so
always
many
getting written out all the time. There's always some excuse. Bonnie has to spend the summer with her dad. She has to like there's always some reason she gets written out, and it's really unfortunate because we obviously love Bonnie. But yeah, I don't know. Something like this, at least she's in it. At least there was like a scene
I guess
for
it's
her,
true. Yeah.
Which was probably ultimately the real reason she was not included on a float, was they wanted her in the crowd to be able to talk to Damon.
Definitely.
But it is like, she is a cheerleader. Like, she is helping with all these other things. It doesn't actually make much sense. I would even appreciate just throwing out a line there that says Bonnie dropped out of cheerleading, or she didn't want to be on the float without Alina and Caroline, you know?
It's
just a little one-liner. I would have been okay with it.
Yeah. Anything that's, like, justifying why she just has to be in the crowd.
She never gets to be any of the... I know. It's just weird.
Yeah. I know. There are a lot of things that I feel like we've dissected more than you'd anticipate, that it's like, you could have just explained it away with a one-liner.
Totally.
But, yeah.
Which, actually, that segues us nice into our next category, which is our funniest moments.
Oh, jeez.
We had to replay 5 of our top funniest moments. You know, we always, in the podcast, love when we just have to laugh so hard that we have to stop cutting, and you guys love that too. You're always dying with us.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to relive some of those moments, and starting with the first one of dissecting things a little too much maybe or something.
I'm nervous.
Be the pilot 101.
Did Damon
compel a crow?
How dare you.
But that's not the only magical powers that they introduced in the first episode that they got rid of.
Oh my gosh. It makes me so mad that they write out Damon being able to control the fog and the crow.
No, okay. I actually was thinking that, like, during the scene when he attacks Vicky and it just floods with, like, the fog.
Yeah.
I love that. Like,
me
too. It is, like, weird and hard to explain that he controls, like, the fog.
Yeah.
But visually... so cool.
It's so, so good. Fun. It's so good.
Yeah, I love the fog.
Yeah.
The crow I can do without.
The crow I could do without, but I think the crow makes more sense. Because I feel like they kind of say, you know, in a later episode, they say Damon is better at compulsion than Stefan because he drinks human blood and does so frequently.
You think he's compelling the crow?
No, but I feel like he would have heightened, not compelling the crow. He's holding the crow, looking at the eyes.
No. That's all I'm picturing now is Damon, like, holding this crow, like, follow me around.
Follow Alina through the graveyard. No.
Squawk when she says something to you, like,
oh no. Not, like, compulsion per se, but I feel like he'd be able to better, like...
I don't know where you're going with this.
First of all, I'm so laughing.
Rachel's literally crying right now. She's laughing so hard.
Okay, well, here's the thing. sometimes I start saying something, and even though I know I'm wrong and I have no clue what I'm even saying, I'm like, I can't stop saying it.
Yeah, I just have to keep saying it.
Yeah, I could never just admit I have no clue what I'm talking about.
Okay, but the funny thing is, like, listening to it now, I'm like, I actually agree with what you're saying. Like, I do know what you're saying now.
Yes.
Also, it just did not hit in the moment. I was like,
yeah, in the moment,
compelling the grow.
This is the pilot. I had no idea how to podcast. I had no idea how to articulate any of my ideas. Let me just defend myself for a moment here. I think the point I was trying to make was not that he literally, like, picked up the crow and compelled it, but, like, it makes sense that he could be able to, like, control animals. Yes. Because mind, it's like control. A mind power. Yeah, it's like a mind power.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, the fog is random. It's, yeah, like, he's controlling weather now, too.
But yeah.
That point wasn't conveyed, but that was what I was trying to say.
Yes. Which I think is why I agree with you now, because we've talked about this multiple times since, yes, filming that.
Yes.
I'm so glad to put it out for all of you as well to understand. Rachel was saying,
thank God I've got my platform.
Yeah, mind control, it makes sense. You can extend that a little bit.
Yeah.
Weather. Yeah,
it's an, yeah, weather piece. Just seems like so unrelated, but
it was just so funny, yeah, picturing him just like going up to a crow in a cemetery and just like trying to compel it, just seeing if it sticks. Stop. It's just so funny.
Okay, but did anyone try it? Maybe they should have.
I don't know. I stand by. We never see it, so who knows. One thing I still stand by is the next clip that I, uh-oh, particularly broke down thinking was hilarious, and that was, of course, Bonnie, you dog.
I don't know if she says boring, but she's just kind of like, you know,
yeah,
he's being like too polite or something like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
she just wants to grab him
and, yeah, and lay one on him. Like, Bonnie, you dog. She says it, she really does. Cut.
I don't lose it often, but when I do, I just lose it. It was funny because it's not even that funny. You just said, Bonnie, you dog. This is what happens when you're filming a podcast with your best friend. You're like, everything, yeah, you say is hilarious.
Exactly. I know. The number of times where I'll just like think back on something that you said, I'm,
I
like,
know, and be dying.
LOL.
I know. I listen to each episode like 12 times because I have to edit it every which way and, yeah, whatnot. And then now I listen to it just for fun and I'm still laughing every time. I'm,
yeah,
like, wow. So
I just,
funny.
I go into like into work, I'm riding the subway, whatever, just cackling to myself, yeah, listening to the podcast. So, yeah.
Some things just really hit. Yeah. But it's so funny, like anyone who's just audio only, I am mostly a silent laughter a lot of the time when, mm-hmm, I really start laughing. So it's funny in that clip how you can only hear you laughing and I'm just like,
yeah,
silence, just, yeah, gone.
Yeah, I mean, so, it's just me laughing at myself.
Yeah, but I was losing it. I was the reason we had to cut. But anyway, the next one, I think we both lost it,
oh,
was,
gosh,
of course, the iconic season 2, episode 2, Newsy Boy Jeremy.
Oh, no. Ring, and he's like, he pulls off the ring, which we don't see, but he gets the ring off and he's like, I'll shove this ring so far up your ass you really have something to choke on.
It's pretty good. Damon is like really putting him in his place, but no, that's so not my good. Favorite funniest part.
Oh, okay, that's my best part.
My favorite funniest part in this conversation is when Jeremy's threatening Damon and he says, I could blow the whole lid off this thing. It's like, stress. No, I can blow the whole lid off this thing.
I like, burst gonna, out laughing.
He's gonna just scream like vampire in the town square. Like, what is he thinking?
Yeah, I don't know. Also, why is he saying like he's like a 1950s newsie? He's like, yeah, I'm gonna
blow the whole lid off this thing. It's gonna be on the top of the morning papers. Like, that's Jeremy to Damon in this scene. Like, I don't know where he's going with this.
Okay, I mean,
that was hilarious. I stand by everything that
was hilarious. Everything we said was hilarious. The scene is ridiculous.
It is. Why is he like, I'm gonna blow the whole lid off this thing? Who wrote his dialogue that day?
Yeah,
so funny. It's so funny. I can't wait until we get another Newsy Boy Jeremy scene someday.
I know. I hope we do. Oh my god.
In also, the Hunter era, that would be hilarious.
Oh my god. Yeah. I also love the Damon Jeremy dynamic too. Like,
yeah,
the Damon saying he's gonna shove the ring so far up his ass.
Yeah, we were already so giggly because that scene is just funny. Those two have a great dynamic.
Yeah, I noticed when you started playing the clip, we were like already giggling. So I was like, oh god, we've already lost it.
Speaking of one where we both just lost it. We had to significantly cut this down in the actual episode because we were hysterical. And that was 216, Caroline with her big-ass tablet.
Oh, my God. Which also, if I were Caroline / Candace, I would be livid over this episode. First, they give her that big-ass tablet.
Oh, my God.
That's already messed up.
both genuinely lost it in that clip so hard that we were both silent laughing. You couldn't hear a thing. Yeah, you
couldn't even hear. I still am, like, tearing up laughing at that. They did Candace so dirty in that episode. They and the tablet is just the biggest offense.
It's so funny. And I remember when we posted that clip, people, like, didn't get what we were saying. They were like, she's a good singer. It's like, she is a good singer.
That's not what even was funny.
That's not the problem. It's that she was singing for Matt Donovan.
Yeah, exactly. Together,
that she had to have this huge tablet product placement. Oh, it's my God. So funny.
Yeah, they did. Oh, my God. They had been doing so many, like, Ford Fiesta product placements leading up to this that it's, like, it was building and building how much they were doing Caroline dirty.
Yeah.
And then, the huge tablets, like, it's not about the song. She's a great singer. No one's saying she's not, but it's Matt Donovan. It's a big tablet.
Yeah.
And it's that weird jump across the...
It's so hilarious. It's so wrong that they did that to her. But I love it. It got that iconic moment out of us, so.
Yeah. Worth it.
Worth it.
So good.
And now we're going to flash back to not that far long ago, last week.
And yet, I don't remember.
Season 2, episode 22, Stefan with his blood bags everywhere, drinking down his Capri Suns.
Love.
So, like, how would you not immediately be like, my head.
My tummy hurts.
Yeah, my tummy hurts. I don't feel so good, Mom. Like, that.
He's going to walk into Klaus's bedroom later and be like, I threw up.
That's the vibe it's giving. Although it's supposed to be like a scary vibe of a vampire losing it, but instead we're losing it being like, he's drinking down his Capri Suns and giving himself a tummy ache. That's just what I see. It's so
ridiculous.
I
don't know.
That's how I see this scene. Same. It's just so funny. But anyway, back to like the actual serious stuff going on. Klaus gives Stefan another blood bag. Stefan is like, no, stop. I can't.
Klaus is like the big bad, so you're like, oh, he's gonna torture him, he's gonna like quarter him or whatever they did in like an old medieval time. No, he's just making him chug all these blood bags.
Yeah, he's just like, it's like his own personal like mukbang or whatever. Like, he's just like, keep going, Stefan. Like, yeah, I've been laughing about that all week. Klaus, I threw up. It's so funny. I'm going to think about it every time.
I think about, we didn't even really get, like, say this, but we did mention, like, we had laughed about this last year when we rewatched. Mm-hmm. But I keep thinking about, like, Stefan being, like, bloated. He's like, I've had too much to drink.
He can barely, like, move around. Yeah. He's so full of blood. That's all we picture when we watch that now.
Such a ridiculous thing. It's like, two blood bags probably would have done the trick. Yeah. Like, to get him, like, to his ripper self.
Yeah. But at least pretty close. At least pretty close. For sure.
If not even, like, two blood bags. Literally just making him feed on, like, a living person.
Oh, that definitely would have done it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but instead he gets dozens of blood bags, a living girl. He's just, like, constantly giving him stuff. So funny.
Klaus is wild for that being his way he's going to torture Stefan and get him to come along with him.
I love him for that, though. Again, same. His personal mukbang. That was...
That I was laughing about. I was thinking about that all week. You saying it was his personal mukbang.
That's exactly what he was doing.
It literally was. So, oh my God. Yeah. Klaus was getting a little too much enjoyment out of that.
Yeah, he definitely was. Our next section is unfortunately not for our audio-only listeners. This is, of course, a blooper reel of never-before-seen little clips from the Rippet Diaries throughout the year, because this is obviously a visual thing. We make faces, lights go out. There's other visual pieces to the comedy that just won't make sense on an audio-only stream of this. You'll have to go to our YouTube channel where you can see the actual full blooper reel in its entirety. We really recommend it. We think it's super funny. But for now, we'll leave you with one little clip from that, from season 1, episode 3, Friday Night Bites, when we're talking about the best song winner, Temptation by Moby, and how much we love that moment with Damon and Elena.
Sarah's gonna be brushing her teeth and she's gonna hear me muttering up, down, in my terrible voice.
I hope so. That's what I want to be hearing.
You will.
Okay, good.
I'm doing it to her. No.
Please. That would be the line.
Until you woke up and you had a heart attack.
My bed. Oh my God. That might ruin the song. I don't know. But we could try.
Probably would, but that's okay.
Okay, seems like a good place to end it.
This is taking a weird turn, so let's end it.
Seems like a good place to end it.
So that's it. That is 1 year of the Rippet Diaries.
Yeah.
There you have all of our
funny comments, our funny clips, our funny moments, lots of funnies from yeah. season one and season two. But the real season two recap will come next week. So join us for that. We'll do a recap just like we did for season one.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely excited to, you know, fully look at season two. Mm-hmm. It's always a fun time to reflect on how much happens in 22 episodes. Oh, it's a lot.
Yeah. I feel like I barely remember yeah. the opener of season two.
Yeah. So we've got to do that before we get back into season three. But we'll, of course, be returning with season three, episode one, The Birthday, on May 30th. Mm-hmm. Until then, we have lots of special episodes planned, including Vampire Diaries themed trivia, a special episode about the humanity switch, and some other fun topics that we'll be releasing as we get a little bit closer. So stick around for all of that fun mm-hmm. stuff as well before we get into season three.
Yeah, and you can, in the meantime, catch up on season one and season two with our socials. You can watch the clips we talked about on Instagram, TikTok, yeah. do all of that. You can listen to the song playlist. We have season one best episodes, season yeah. two best episodes, all of the best episodes in one playlist. yeah. And to really catch up, you can watch season one and season two on YouTube, or you can listen to the podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
And I think that should be your fill of the Ripa Diaries.
Yeah, you've got lots to catch up on before we get back with season three.
Definitely.
So thanks for watching and or listening to this one. We'll see you next week for the season two full recap. Bye.
Bye.